Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Monday, May 29th. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Happy Memorial Day.
Yep. And these just a couple of days a year that I don't mess with anything, one being like Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Christmas Day, Memorial Day is the other one. But we're recording this early. But Memorial Day, y'all, it's not about barbecuing and all that. It's about all the people that died so we could sit here and do what we do in the studio. Amen. And to take care of business every day and all give some and some give all. So shout out to all the men and women who've given their lives for this country so that we can do what we do.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day, and we happen to have a gift that was given to me to give to Mike from one of our avid listeners. Yes. So first, we're going to shout out Miss Lori Johnson for giving me this gift to pass along to Mike.
Lori Johnson.
Listeners,
and
we're
her family,
passing.
Her husband and daughter.
Yes, all of them are great. So, Mike, we have a little gift for you, Mike. Y'all. It's in a red bag. It has some little stuffing in there, and
very, very nicely wrapped.
And
I
think that's just the top stuffing. There you go. Yeah, pull that out. And what do we have, Mike? What do we have from this Lori?
Actually, my favorite.
What do we have?
Well, they're not called Reese's Pieces. They're called Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces for Mike from Miss Lori.
And Miss Lori, you would not believe how many Reese's Pieces. My wife is such a nut for Reese's that there are varieties of Reese's that she refuses because the mix of peanut butter and chocolate isn't in the proportion she wants. So if it's a particular season like Easter and they're going to have the chocolate eggs out,
I love that.
She will send me out to CVS and Walgreens and Winn-Dixie. And, you know, we will buy out the chocolate eggs wherever we can find them because the mix is much better than the traditional Reese's mix. And okay, so she'll do the big cups now. She'll do those things. She rejects the small ones and the thin ones that they have. Yeah. And she's not as much of a pieces.
But you're right. The eggs are definitely better.
They just taste better. They really do. Yeah, no, she's right about that. But she is a Reese's connoisseur.
Thank you, Lori Johnson.
Thank you, Lori Johnson.
Banker chick.
The best banker chick. Go Hancock Whitney.
And I'm glad, Lori, that you're one person who does know how to pronounce Reese's.
Oh my God. All right. Thank you. Love y'all. Peace.
All right. We're going to get into today's crime news. And
Mike has a Reese's.
Y'all are not going to believe this story coming out of. Oh my God. Good Lord have mercy. Y'all are not going to believe this story coming out of Indiana. So a shooting in Indiana that injured two people has occurred after a three-year-old accessed a gun, which led to the arrest of a man wanted for murder in Illinois. So let's get into this. Trayshawn Smith was arrested on Thursday after he visited a hospital with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Investigators determined that the shooting that sent Smith and another victim to the hospital occurred when a three-year-old was able to access a gun and fire a single round. Wow. It was determined that the three-year-old at the location got the gun, fired that one round, and actually struck two people. The police department said officers initially found both shooting victims at the hospital where they were being treated for non-life-threatening injuries, and the shooting itself occurred at an apartment complex in Lafayette, Indiana.
A home of my polygraph maker.
Oh, yeah. At first, I thought you were going to say Larry Bird. No, I was going to say, no, that's French Lick.
We did a story on Lafayette, Indiana last week, too.
We did.
But anyway, they're home of the best polygraph maker in the world. I'm sorry,
guy. There you go. So Hartman who is the chief of police, said the other victim was the child's mother, and Smith was a friend of the mother. So he got arrested because he had an active warrant for a murder from neighboring Cook County, Illinois. Whoa. Police said the police department is coordinating with the police in Illinois, right, the Indiana police, regarding that arrest. But it amazed me that the three-year-old shooting this guy actually got him picked up for the warrant for murder.
Right. How big is the reward the three-year-old is getting?
That's a great question, Mike. Yeah, I don't think there's a reward. But
he'll catch a charge for leaving a firearm unprotected.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one bullet, two victims. So it must have fragmented or something.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it could have been a 3-and-3.
Yeah.
Do you think they developed the polygraph there because there are more bullshit artists in that town than
It's Lafayette Instruments, and I used to be a rep for them years ago, but they definitely are far ahead of Axton and the other leader.
What about the machine I sent you the picture of the other day?
That was great. I think that was the Vincent Stolting.
From like 1963 or something.
Yeah, but we call those the old ink slingers because they actually used ink. All ours are computerized now. Lafayette, Indiana, right?
That's it. How about that? Who's your country?
Right? There you go. So I'm going to take you to Battle Creek, where a man was arrested after holding two women hostage with, not the anaconda.
Python?
Not the python. Dynamite.
Whoa.
Right? Several law enforcement agencies responded to an incident in northeast Nebraska last week, following a report that two people were being held hostage in a car by someone claiming to have dynamite. Did you ever see the video of the pizza guy that had the bomb on him, the dynamite on him, and it was like during a robbery thing, but he was like a victim.
It sounds
the guy that was doing the robbery put it on him. Yeah, blew his ass up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, anyway, so there's a video of it. But anyway, so dispatchers received a call claiming that two people were being held hostage in a car by a man. The caller said the man was threatened to detonate a partial stick of dynamite inside the car. The caller said they were communicating electronically with a woman who was in the vehicle. Sheriff's deputy intercepted the vehicle and initiated a traffic stop. A man was removed from the vehicle and taken into custody. Two women, the driver and a passenger, were also removed from the vehicle and detained while initial interviews were conducted. A cursory search of the vehicle yielded an explosive device. The vehicle was held to a technician from the Nebraska State Patrol bomb unit, job I didn't want to have, could observe and dispose of the item. As a result of the investigation, 37-year-old Kelly Red Tomahawk was arrested for terroristic threats and false imprisonment. Both charges of felonies, and Red Tomahawk has now locked his ass up in jail, in the county jail. But, you know, a partial stick of dynamite, you remember M80s when we were kids? Mm-hmm. That was a partial stick of dynamite. That's how much explosive force that those had.
Yeah.
We'd drop down the toilet, blow up the whole toilet.
Were those, like a quarter of a stick or something?
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, naturally they're illegal now. I'm sure many people lost their limbs to them. I just saw a few toilets go boom.
Yeah. It reminds me of a movie I saw one time. I call it a classic, but it's called Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
And he goes to the fireworks stand. He's like, all the guy had was sparklers and snakes. Yeah.
Mike doesn't know about it if it doesn't involve housewives and shit like that.
That's right.
By the way, yeah, big things happening.
Oh,
you missed them, but you don't care. You can watch it on the cock. You can watch the wedding of the century from Housewives in New Jersey, or you can watch the reunion.
I wouldn't care if they were all naked at the wedding of the century. I'm not watching it.
From Vanderpump Rules last night.
So. Vanderpump Rules, is the Vanderpump part of the sexual conversation?
No, it's a woman's name, Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Who's a restaurateur in Los Angeles. But guys, this is how you do little things for your wife, like watch a little Bravo with her and, you know.
I'm pretty sure I don't need that help there.
God damn it. You've bypassed Bravo, Valentine's Day, your anniversary, you are still cashing in five times as often as I am?
Cashing every day. Yeah. Cashing yesterday.
Damn it.
Well, cashing today when we get a chance. Put honey, the Vaseline on the door now to keep honey, the kids out. I need
to hear that. It is, it's time to step up, babe. Come on. Two guys escaped from a prison in Ohio.
And we should have an escape prison
Mike
section.
Loves to do escaped prisoner stories. This one is interesting because it looks – if you look at the picture of the guys, it looks like Mo and Curly from the Three Stooges escaped.
It looks
together.
Like Butterbean, them in MMA fighter.
It does look like Butterbean.
Butterbean was a badass.
It does look like Butterbean. Well, Butterbean is James Lee, age 47, believe it or not. That guy's only 47. And the other guy is Bradley Gillespie, age 50. Okay. The bad news is that
you're related to Gillespie.
Cops caught up with them and following a car chase that then became a foot chase. Which one of our two escaped inmates do you think cops were
even
able to apprehend?
Even I could have caught that dude, Butterbean.
Yeah, so Butterbean was captured. So James Lee is back in custody. Unfortunately, his history is the tamer of the two histories. Gillespie's a murderer, and he is on the loose. And now he's been on the loose for 4 or 5 days.
Butterbean a child molester?
Butterbean was, I think, believe it or not, a thief, and he did some other stuff. But
comparable, my bad.
And if Butterbean had stayed with him, you know, we'd have been able to track him down to an IHOP in the area.
Yeah, right,
and
for sure. No, Butterbean doesn't get an IHOP; he gets Waffle House.
Yes,
there goes the response to Waffle House.
Butterbean might have been a
Shoney's.
But in all seriousness, this guy Gillespie is a dangerous guy.
Gillespie, turn yourself in, you fucks.
He's considered armed and dangerous residents in the area. And this is in Ohio, as I said, the Williams County Sheriff's Office. These guys escaped from the Allen Correctional Institution. And so Gillespie is in that area. He's believed to be armed and dangerous. When I was trying to be funny, I wrote down here they're currently staking out all known IHOP locations in the area, but they are not.
Do you know that Jim is considered armed and dangerous?
Jim is armed and
because
dangerous.
Because of the anaconda.
Police in Henderson, Kentucky say a stolen vehicle both were thought to be in was spotted, and officers tried to pull it over. And that's when the chase ensued, and they crashed the vehicle, and both fled on foot. And somehow, with both fleeing on foot, Gillespie was able to get away.
Because,
as I said, he's serving a murder sentence, and Lee was in. Believe it or not, Butterbean was in for safe cracking.
Really?
Does he look like a safe cracker to you?
I didn't think it was a thing anymore.
So, but in all seriousness,
he's sitting there with a heartbeat deal.
Let me give you an
example of why Gillespie got away. Because when you're chasing two, you only have to be faster than the one because they're going to get to the one and they're not going to have to take him and deal with him. And they're going to run past him, keep chasing this guy in case he gets up. Butterbean's all their asses, right? And he gets away.
Well, and he probably would have required multiple officers to take him down, looking at the size of him.
Yeah,
probably.
He definitely would have required something.
Yeah, so hopefully they get Gillespie guy back where he belongs soon.
All right, so we've got just an unbelievable story we're about to tell you.
Yeah.
And this comes out of Georgia. So almost 4 years after a newborn baby was found abandoned in a plastic bag in a wooden area, deputies in Georgia have finally arrested the woman they say is the child's biological mother. But get ready for this, Woody Overton. Karima Jawani, 40, was charged with criminal contempt to commit murder, aggravated assault, reckless abandonment, cruelty to children in the first degree, and a ton of other charges.
I come say if what I think happened, you go hit them on every charge in the book.
Absolutely. So the woman was arrested by Deputy Terry Roper, who helped rescue the baby almost 4 years ago. The baby was rescued alive. Wow. Authorities found the baby girl
inside a plastic bag.
Yeah,
they must have been Johnny on the spot.
I'm about to tell you all about it. All right. Authorities found the baby girl in a wooded area.
Jim code for shut up, Woody.
Authorities found the baby girl in a wooded area in Cumming, Georgia, after a 911 call came in around 10 p.m. on June 6th of 2019. Baby India, as she has been named by authorities, was placed in foster care approved by the Georgia Department of Child and Family Services. The sheriff's office released videos of deputies finding the newborn in hopes it would lead to credible information on the identity of the baby. In the video, a deputy ripped open a plastic bag to reveal India still covered in fluids and an umbilical cord still attached.
Wow, what a miracle.
India was wrapped in cloth and given first aid by paramedics before being taken to a hospital. Baby India was found in the county just before severe thunderstorms hit the area,
and
which would
have killed the baby. Said it was at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes. And it was right before severe thunderstorms.
That baby's going to do something special.
So back, you know, they interviewed the guy that actually found the baby and tore up in the bag. And he said, back then I called it divine intervention. Right. And I truly believe that. If you look at everything that had happened for this little girl to survive, for alert people to hear the sound in the woods that they thought was a wild animal.
Right. But so
they heard the baby crying.
Shit.
Two teenagers couldn't let it go because they thought it may sound like a baby crying. So they went in the woods, and that's when they alerted police.
Shout out to them.
The girls convinced their father to go out in the middle of the night in the woods to see where the sound was coming from, which led Deputy Roper to arriving on the scene and discover and rescue the baby. The investigation spanned from northeast to midwest and took thousands of hours. Investigators got their break about 10 months ago when the sheriff identified baby India's father using familiar DNA.
There it is.
The sheriff's office arrested Jawani last week. So there you go. You know, we talk about, that's a great feel-good story, y'all.
I would have thought it would have been two boys, negative. But it was two girls that got their daddy to go out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And
the baby wrapped up in a, there's not that much.
You're talking
air
about probably a 1 in 1 million chance of that ever happening and turning out
good. Divine intervention, whoever you
absolutely. So amazing. Great story.
India.
Coming out of Georgia.
Absolutely crazy.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
A man was arrested on Friday for attacking the person who he says molested him. On Friday, deputies were investigating the stabbing and were told that the victim had gone to the hospital. Medical professionals told deputies the victim had 4 stab wounds to the head, a piece of the knife blade stuck in his skull, and an artery in his head was cut.
Ouch.
A man, 28-year-old Kadarius Cage, was arrested after the stabbing near the crime scene and taken in for questioning. Cage told deputies that the victim molested him earlier in the day, and he waited for hours for the victim to go to sleep. Why don't you just go to sleep? So he could kill him. Cage said he stabbed the victim with a pocket knife until someone pulled him off and the victim left to get help. Cage was booked for attempted second-degree murder. Well, hopefully they can get this victim to confess. Yeah, he did molest. I know he's... Cage is 28 years old. I guess you could still be molested as an adult.
Absolutely.
More of a sexual battery type charge. But you wait for him to go to sleep, like Lorena Bobbitt's.
Yeah.
Told her husband, why don't you just go to sleep?
Yeah. Right? And that story's right out of Baton Rouge, ain't it?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Shout out for you, Cage, if you're telling the truth.
There you go.
Mike, now it's your turn.
Now it's my turn? I think we edited this part out where I went at a turn a few minutes ago.
Can you barbecue on Memorial Day?
Can I barbecue on Memorial Day?
Do you eat barbecue on Memorial Day?
If I had a Traeger, I would. I have one of those damn green egg things that I can't figure that freaking thing out.
I'm roaring.
I know you are. But
what kind of meat do the Italians barbecue?
But we're talking to the Traeger folks next week.
That's right. Traeger, shout out to them.
What happens.
Badass grills. You know what else they have? They have, the big thing now is the Blackstone, because you cook, it's kind of like it's a steel grill.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Traeger's got one that's got 6 different heating elements in it, bro, plus 2 air fryer drawers down the bottom. You could cook, like, sausages and eggs and you cook everything at different temperatures on this big, it's a professional cooktop.
Like a damn commercial kitchen.
It's a professional cooktop. It is bad to the bone. I'm trying.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, I'm going to learn all about them next week.
Yep.
Let's go to the great state of Washington, where a 35-year-old Washington woman is under arrest for sexting and providing alcohol and drugs to a crew of runaway teens that she planned to leave town with.
Mm. Wow. You got a picture?
I don't
know. It's the one time you don't have a pic, man. Come on. Sorry, man.
It will become clear to you why I don't have a pic in just a little bit. Amanda Doro, who went by the name Taz among the teens, was charged with unlawful harboring of minors after police uncovered a plan for her to flee to Seattle with this group of kids. The Port Angeles High School vice principal contacted police on May 4th after two students reportedly came to the office and admitted to the planned runaway. So two of the students that were going to – two of the kids that were going to participate
went, ratted them out.
Went and it's a her. It's Amanda Doro is the 35-year-old Washington woman. Okay. Yeah. So police previously had received 10 different reports regarding Doro's involvement with minors. All kinds of things. Neighbors constantly seeing teenage boys going into and coming out of her house.
She's running a whorehouse.
All kinds of stuff like that.
Taz.
So,
give me a lunch money.
On May 2nd, officers searched the location of Doro's apartment and found three different teenagers running through the parking lot away from Doro's apartment to an area that was known as the gully. And this is where many of these teens stayed. Doro was spotted sitting next to one of these kids who was identified as a runaway. So it turned out that four runaways were part of this group that this woman, allegedly, Amanda Doro, planned to run away to Seattle with. Now, the twist to the story after Amanda Doro is arrested is that she informs the police that she's actually a 15-year-old boy. The fact that she identifies as a 15-year-old boy rather than the 35-year-old woman that she is justified in her mind.
She looked like a 15-year-old boy?
Yeah, she was somewhere in between, I would say. That didn't fly. Even in Washington State, where just about anything flies, that didn't fly. She was charged and she's charged with one count of distributing controlled substances because of primarily marijuana with the kids.
What does she do for a living?
To a minor. Well, she's a 15-year-old boy, so she doesn't have to work. So
she got to pay for the drugs somehow.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what line of work.
She had an apartment.
Yeah, she had an apartment. Yeah, she
stumped you, might about didn't mean to stump you.
Nothing about her source. She's independently wealthy.
You've been loaning her some money, Mike.
Is what it says. Yes, she's been on the Agovino payroll. Yeah, that. Good thing the cops got involved there, and runaways. A bunch of them were runaways. I mean, I can't imagine that large a group of 15-year-olds in one area all runaways.
Crazy. I don't think the defense is going to work, by the way.
Yeah.
But
state of Washington might.
I don't think the police are buying it.
I've been working in wherever.
Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office wouldn't take that for
that's right.
All right. So let me ask y'all something. Have you ever had a situation where you ever wondered, if I found a suitcase of money, $1 million in a suitcase, would I call the police or would I keep it? I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that have wondered this.
I've often wondered.
Well,
scenarios like this.
We've got a similar scenario to that, Woody Everton, and that is several packages of cocaine have washed up in Alabama on Dolphin Island to be
Mobile.
Pacific. Yeah, Mobile. Several packages of cocaine washed up, and it totaled $1.2 million. There were 25 total kilos of cocaine.
But no cash.
No cash, but that's as good as cash.
It was on the way to get cash.
Pretty sure, cash, pretty sure somebody could unload that real quick for some cash. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was a pair of beachgoers searching for seashells on the west end of Dauphin Island who found all this cocaine and reported it to police. They didn't want to be named. I don't blame them there. They suspected the packages were drugs of some sort, and they knew not to touch it. So they had enough sense to know, you know, we don't want to touch this and get it on our hands. The Mobile County Sheriff's Office said they're lucky to have Good Samaritans turn this in. Something like this falling into the wrong hands could have been catastrophic, said the corporal, Lonnie Parsons, with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. And, you know, I would have, the first thing I would have done is just to make sure I would have smelled it.
No, you'd have took something.
Because you can smell cocaine, can't you?
I don't think so.
See what it smells like?
Taste it.
You see what you have to taste.
Take it.
You do. No, that's
and rub it on your lips. That's not police approved, by the way.
I thought it had a smell to it. I would have probably tried to smell it.
They have there's a process to smell, but it's not a
I'm kidding, y'all. Yeah, so with an ATV, Mobile County Sheriff's Office recovered the drugs, and they had a label called Triton.
Yeah, that's
what?
Most drug dealers label their ship with a certain design or whatever, and these were packaged with Triton, T-R-I-T-O-N.
Okay.
Nothing packages. To do with my former
Nothing
firm.
To do with your former company, but I knew you were going to bring that up.
So a retired detective.
At least when I was there. They may have branched into some new lines of business.
There you go.
The I-team interviewed a retired detective there, and he said one of the most probable things that have happened is they have convinced themselves that police were watching them, whether they have seen a Coast Guard helicopter or one go over. They panic and they think they're moving in on us, and they just dump the drugs. And that's how they ended up, you know, in the water and washing up on shore.
Right.
But believe it or not, y'all, this isn't as uncommon as you may think.
It's all the time, especially with marijuana bundles and stuff.
Yeah, well, just last month, Walton County deputies in Florida, Fort Walton,
right from Dauphin Island,
not far. They said packages of cocaine washed ashore last month with emblems of Coco Chanel on them.
Yeah,
in Past Christiane in 2021, Mississippi,
this side of Dauphin Island.
Yeah, package surfaced with Pablo.
Okay, explain to me how Past Christiane is Past Christiane when it's spelled Christian.
It's
because it's the way we talk down here. Right. Put that in Rosetta Stone.
Another package surfaced, and that package actually had Pablo Escobar's mugshot.
Yeah.
Odom said there's probably no chance of finding the boat or the suspects. It's usually an unintentional situation, said Odom. They don't come up here thinking they are going to throw it overboard and then retrieve it.
Right.
There's a reason for it, and it's always going to be law enforcement. Everybody looks like a cop to them.
Mm-hmm.
Odom added, just because it washed up on Dauphin Island doesn't mean it was the intended destination. It could have floated from hundreds of miles away.
Right.
And the Triton labeled across the cocaine, he suspected that could be related to Triton, as in Greek god of the sea.
Could be. And
could commonly be a used name.
Could be, but let me tell you a little bit more about this story. Some people did get arrested.
Okay. They did.
That's right. So
for smelling it,
the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, which is where Dauphin Island is located, says two Dauphin Island Public Works employees have been arrested.
Oh,
for trafficking cocaine. After the 25 kilo bundle you're talking about of Triton drug was found on Island's West End.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was these two rocket scientists, Robert Butler and Dean Hazard, they working on the island, right? Well, they found the package, the bundle, before anybody else did.
Uh-oh.
And they each took 1 kilo of cocaine. All right. The one of them hid it in his freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them buried it in his backyard. And they ended up catching up with them, and they locked their ass.
Now, here's my question, though, Woody Overton. How the hell did you catch them? How did they know?
I don't know.
That would be the – how the hell – you know what I think? I think they told somebody else who told somebody else.
They had, maybe they loose saw lips
sink ships.
Trident underneath the shirt or something. I don't know.
Loose lips sink ships. World War II.
Hey, you're a beach worker in Dolphin Island. You come across a kilo kink. My question is, why the fuck didn't they take more than 1 kilo each?
Right.
Must have been all they could carry. A kilo is 2.5 pounds, right? So yeah. I'm pretty sure I could have carried like 10, 20.
I could carry 20.
It's like 40, but I mean, it would have been obvious.
They had to tell somebody who ratted them out.
Yeah.
Well, what sucks is if that had been cash that came as a result of a drug sale and they had brought the cops in and no one had claimed that cash after a period of time, they'd get the cash back, right?
Mm.
If you didn't know that the cash had anything to do with drugs, right?
Yeah.
But they don't get the drugs back after a period of time.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to get those back. Do you know that in the late 80s and early 90s, like 9 out of every 10 $100 bills they tested it in America had cocaine residue on them?
That makes sense.
That's back in your day, Mike.
That makes sense.
But you were doing yours out of $1,000 bills.
We were smoking it. We went right to crack.
You're rocking it up. Yeah.
We went right to crack.
We don't like the good, well, the expensive cocaine. We just go to crack. All right. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Ask yourself, what would you have done?
What would you have done?
Would you have smelled it?
I'll tell you my story real quick. I like think about when I was working interdiction on the interstate and shit. If I pull up on a car and they got like, you know, the money goes towards Mexico and the dope goes the other way. Mm. We work both sides. Pull up a car and it's got like $50 million in it. Swim. Someone that isn't me. Might have put a bullet in that motherfucker's head and loaded up his cop car and they had found a cop car at the Mexico border. Yeah. I don't know. How much was it, Mike? $100 million? Can we record for?
Yeah. What's the difference between 50 and 48? I mean, if, you know, if a couple million went.
How much you can carry, I guess. So. But it's now time for the
Indicata. Uh-oh. It must be time to get kinky. What do you ever do?
Crimes.
Kinky crimes.
Monday,
yes.
May 29th. Well, this probably happens more than it's been reported. But a woman driving her car in the nude to win concert tickets from a radio station may have amused listeners.
I designed that permission.
But not the police, right? Yeah. In your radio days, Mike, that's what you did, right? The Beaver, it's funny, the Beaver. Police chief said there was sort of a caravan following her, and people were leaning out their cars to get a better view. We thought it was a public safety matter.
I bet they were leaning out.
Marcia L. Dumas, 19 years old, was charged yesterday with public indecency. She faces 30 days in jail.
Hmm.
David Mace, general manager of WGTZ-FM, said disc jockeys asked who
WGTZ,
would,
Dayton, Ohio, baby. Right? I think that's Z93, that's your Dayton, shit,
right?
Ohio.
That is in Ohio. You're right.
Dude, so, one time I had all those call letters, east and west, the Mississippi.
You had sex there one time or something. No. So,
the AM station was WING, Wing and GTZ.
Disc jockeys asked who would be willing to drive to work naked to win front row seats to the Duran Duran concert.
Whoa, wait, hold the phone.
Hungry like
Duran,
the wolf.
Duran.
Wait, a 19,
hungry like the wolf.
A 19-year-old wanted to see Simon Le Bon that bad?
Shit.
Hungry like the wolf. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you.
Yes, indeed. Man, I love that.
Yeah, I'll get naked for freaking Duran Duran, baby. So,
her name is Rhea.
For real, 19 years old.
She was doing that for her mother.
Maybe so.
There's no way.
Maybe so.
Duran Duran.
But check this out. They were inundated with people who said they would like to do it. And Miss Dumas' name was picked at random, accompanied by a female station employee, and with a teddy bear on her lap covering most of her body, she was driving down a 4-lane highway when she was arrested.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that.
They being a little bit petty arresting her.
Wait. She was covered?
Yeah.
She had a teddy bear covering most of it.
And she says, we were not causing any harm to anyone. No. But I wouldn't do it again, not after all this trouble.
And, yeah, they being a little petty.
And
in Ohio.
Mike is burning up his phone now trying to Google and say so be lookism on this chick. But I'm not going to let put your fucking phone away, Mike. Your fucking phone away, Mike. Put it away.
What do you think about that, Mike? Mike's a radio guy from way back.
It sounds like a perfectly legitimate promotion to me. I don't know why. I
mean, right?
Don't know why anybody got in trouble.
I think the cops just wanted to get a naked girl out of the car.
Hey, we That's had right.
That was an acute political emergency.
Local radio station on Long Island where I grew up, big rock station there, WBAB, had a Destroy the Rock Van event one time. And they did this at Adventureland on Long Island, a big amusement park. And you would contribute a couple of dollars, which all went to a charity, and they'd give you a sledgehammer, and you'd get a couple of swats right. at the car. Well, people were getting too close, and, you know, whenever you're hitting into a car,
just go, wow.
Stuff's moving around. So somebody hits the car, a big piece of metal comes out and cuts the crap. Really? Out of somebody who's there, and that was the last time they did the Destroy the Rock Van promotion.
Policy procedure just got changed. No more. Yeah.
Now, then a radio station up in Sacramento, I believe, did a Hold Your Pee for a Wee contest a few years.
Hold Your Pee for a week?
For a Wii. So you want those video game consoles?
Back for a Wii. For a Wii.
A Nintendo
back
Wii.
Back when a Wii was.
We played that.
Hold Your Pee for a week. Holy shit.
I've been training for that.
I think she almost.
I can't do it for a full episode.
It's very bad for you. The woman actually died.
Really?
So, yeah. No, you.
For holding the pee?
Well, I left out that you're drinking.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you, I'm about to bless you with another story here, and it's totally off script. Jim, you could never win this one.
No.
We're going to play it though. So we play, and I used to play with my now deceased father-in-law, rest in peace, brother. But every time we'd start drinking, we would hold it and see who had to break the seal first.
Oh, God.
And this is on a boat and the lake and wherever. I mean, like, hey, you're a real man. And look, he was older than me, probably 25, 30 years older than me, retired sex chief of Border Patrol. And that dude could beat me almost every time.
No kidding. So,
but I'm in training now to ruin my friends this weekend.
Yeah, I would.
Big bladder?
I would be the first one out.
Oh, I'd be.
Yeah, because
once I go. Beer number one, I'd be like, I'm going to explode.
Yeah, once I go the first time, it's over. When you break that seal, you're done.
That's
every 2 minutes after that.
See, I would see you like running a catheter and having some stupid bottle hidden behind you that, and be there all day staring them down while you're cheating them.
I would do that. Thank you for the thought.
No, the guys who do long distance bike cycling.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, fuck it. But I mean, they do a NASCAR and all that when they drive.
Well, a lot of those guys just like in the NFL, linemen just pee. Linemen will go number two because the guy that they're blocking doesn't want to be anywhere near them when they stink that bad.
We were on the boat last week. It was so rough.
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. Conrad Dobler would bite you. He would pee in his pants. He would take a dump in his – he would do anything to block you.
Yeah. He shit on himself?
I don't even think it's that uncommon. There's a lot of guys.
He should be in the Hall of
Fame. Holy cow. All right. Well, Woody Overton, I'd say that chick's pretty kinky. What would you say?
Kinky crimes. Love that segment.
Hey, we should have our own contest out there one day. But that was your kinky crime for today, folks.
And it was kinky.
Indeed.
Yes.
Back to Cali.
Going back to Cali
where the 6th Street Bridge, which was under construction when I arrived in California in 2001 and was still under construction when I left California in 2020.
Wow.
The amazing news is they completed it in July of 2022. They say $588 million later. I think the original budget on that thing might have been the $88 million, just right. Like SoFi Stadium, that was supposed to cost $1 billion and cost $4 billion. They're not very good at the budgeting thing out there. But a 17-year-old boy died last weekend falling from the iconic Sixth Street Bridge. And police say that he was attempting to share on social media this climb that has become very popular. So if you saw the bridge, the way that is constructed, there are these like arches that apparently have become popular for social media influencers to climb. And unfortunately, this one individual whose name has been withheld was the latest. I think there have been several who have attempted this and unfortunately fell to his death. Since its opening, the police have been forced to close the bridge several times after it quickly became, first a hotspot for street racing, then graffiti, then illegal takeovers, and drew hundreds of spectators to watch drivers perform all of these dangerous stunts. So it took all those years to build, all that money to build, and it's become a place for street racing and for, and this thing goes right over the LA River, which of course isn't a river.
Right.
It's a good, I mean, gullies, it's officially a river, but only so Arnold Schwarzenegger could drive a motorcycle across it in Terminator. But, unfortunately this young man is no longer with us, and there have been several others that this has happened to.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we're going to bring you to Texas, and a woman's remains have been found 10 days after her disappearance. The good news on all this is a man has been arrested. So the remains of this Texas woman, who had been missing for more than a week, were found Saturday. And the same day, authorities arrested a man in connection with her killing. Madeline Melina Pantoa, 20, was last seen around 11 p.m. on May 10th at her Midland, Texas apartment complex. She vanished without her vehicle and cell phone. About 10 days later, her body was found in a field. An autopsy is going to be performed in Dallas County in conjunction with the ongoing investigation, but Midland police have arrested Mario Chacon Jr., 24, shortly after the discovery of her remains. Chacon has been charged with murder and is being held on a $3 million bond. Police did not publicly reveal the relationship between the suspect and the victim.
Yeah, they know something.
But her family members told investigators the pair were dating and have recently separated. Family and friends previously said she was arguing with a man before her disappearance. Mm-hmm. Her friend, Karen Ramos, said that she went to the woman's apartment to look for her and had trouble getting inside before finally finding her phone, keys, and dog in the apartment.
Yeah, every time I worked a case with the female's phone and purse or cigarettes and lighter were left behind, they were dead.
Yeah. Well, her friend finally got into the apartment, saw the keys. The door was locked, and they were the only one that had a key.
Right.
The man she was last seen arguing with has not been publicly identified. However, loved ones claim that the man is Chacon, the guy they have arrested. Yeah. Family and friends became suspicious when Chacon, who reportedly had a key to the woman's apartment, mm-hmm. did not appear concerned that she was missing.
Right.
A missing persons investigation was launched. Within that time, multiple law enforcement agencies had searched a remote 60-square-mile radius, served a dozen search warrants, and interviewed about 25 people. They announced a reward of $20,000 that could lead to her whereabouts. And
all fluff. They had eyeballs on that dude the whole time.
Yeah. So
in case he went back to the body.
And this last sentence is probably what kind of put his nail in the coffin. Authorities say they linked Chacon to her disappearance and death using surveillance footage and cell phone pings.
Yep.
So they pinged his cell phone.
Yep.
And ended up finding the body that way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I hate to think.
But I'm glad that
so many cases work like that.
Her remains.
And when they leave them out in the fields and you go out there and they're just being eaten alive by the maggots and all that stuff. It's just such a shitty way to go. And animals and everything else.
And no doubt about it.
But anyway.
Big story coming out of that.
I was going to have a Reese's Pieces and then you just said all that. So maggots, there's no chance I can eat that.
There's science behind the maggots, Mike. California High School Teacher of the Year, in fact.
Really?
Oh, that's pretty fucking, wow. That's a lot of teachers.
There's a lot of teachers in California. There's a lot of people.
This one, she got arrested. A California high school teacher has been arrested for allegedly having sex with an underage male student. Yucaipa High School Teacher Tracy Vanderholst, 38, was arrested by authorities on Thursday night around 11 o'clock. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office said that they investigated the allegations on Thursday and quickly identified her as a suspect. I'm guessing there's going to be a video involved here. Vanderholst joined their faculty in 2013. She was recognized as the school's Teacher of the Year in 2017. Vanderholst, who taught math at school, was promptly booked in the Central Detention Center, blah, blah, blah. Authorities believe there may be more victims. Y'all, I'm guessing there's video involved here. And Mike, once again, has failed us on not having a picture of this lady.
Mike did have a picture.
And? You didn't share them with the class today, Mike?
Well, Jim doesn't like to print my pictures. So
that's a lot of ink.
I have a picture inside. She's
sorry. It's all good.
She's okay.
So there you go, people. And teachers. Hey, my wife's a teacher, but she was never banging.
I don't think this teacher's guilty. Guilty.
The students
you don't
were
think she's guilty?
I don't think she's guilty.
Oh, my God.
She won Teacher of the Year.
So maybe the students voted.
She won Teacher of the Year.
Everybody.
There's only one. There's usually multiple. How come there's only one?
Everybody on the face of Harvey Earth is here because two people screwed. And people had a, hey.
That's no longer a true statement, by the way.
Yeah.
That's her. I looked her up.
Let me see.
She ain't bad.
Yeah, that's her. Girl next door.
Good. You
girl next door.
Girl next door. Just another reason.
She looks young.
She didn't. I don't buy this story.
She's 38 years old. Wow.
Yeah. She's not old.
Well,
it's Yucaipa.
She liked. They didn't say if it was a male. This male student could have been a female.
No, I think it was a male.
Oh, well. All right. Well, sorry it happened to him. That's it.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's a double alleged for me.
Yeah, you know what?
Let's go to the next story.
Next.
Story's dead
I have a double allegedly. I have an allegedly here that involves like.
Why are your stories so thick, Mike?
An unbelievable. Because I don't put them to the side like you do after. These are all my
I'm stories asking for fans.
For the next month. Fans want to know? Inquiring minds want to know?
That's right.
Okay, so. This is a California corrections officer who has been charged with sexually assaulting 13 female inmates.
Mm. Guy or girl?
See, not one like guy the teacher. Girl. This is 13.
Man, I don't really get it. If this kid was like 17 or something, I'd be upset.
The alleged assaults date back as far as 2014, but most of them happened in the last couple of years. The officer's name, Gregory Rodriguez, worked at the Central California Women's Facility, which is the largest women's prison in California. He's facing 96 counts of rape, sodomy, sexual battery. And
96 counts?
Rape under color of authority. Rape under
that's
color.
That's just using saying.
His power of his
like
position.
Like forceful, right? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. The charges involve those number of charges, not number of women. So the charges involve 13 separate victims.
Still a lot.
If he is convicted on all charges, he could be sentenced to more than 300 years in prison.
Yeah,
this prison is about 2 hours outside of San Francisco. Well,
I'm just teasing.
Tourists taking the 101 right now might be turning off to go see the to go see the prison, and you wouldn't be surprised that that authorities said, "quote, these allegations in no way are a reflection of the vast majority of corrections officers who act professionally and do their best to make sure prisoners serve their time while remaining safe. Corrections officers working together at a facility, they become close over time. This guy's been there a long time." I mean, if somebody's doing crap like that,
no, not necessarily. Denny Perkins here and you know, career law enforcement, and nobody knew he was doing the shit he was doing. If I was going to be doing it, I'm banging 96 or however many people it is, 13 different ones. That's 13 that came forward because they weren't happy with the service or whatever it may be. I'm not telling. Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, it was other inmates that became whistleblowers and were not identified in this. But in 2003, California passed the Prison Rape Elimination Act and created a zero-tolerance policy. Which
we talked about this on Bloody Angola.
This guy's looking at 300.
Bloody Angola. See, when I worked in corrections, they didn't even have that. And Kelly Jennings with Unspeakable Podcast was on Bloody Angola. She filled in for me this past week. Thank you, Kelly. But we're reading the rule book, and they actually have the prison rape elimination. I'm like, how in the fuck does that even have to be a rule?
Yeah.
You have a rule about raping?
You should have a zero tolerance anyway.
We are going to eliminate rape. Yeah. Rape is bad.
And look, that's horrible, and I hope that guy gets his dick cut off personally, but... Yeah.
Well, I mean, allegedly.
I mean, you know, allegedly Fox and, I mean, you got a bunch of women starving for some action, and he was giving it out evidently indiscriminately. Maybe he didn't give it to someone, and they got pissed.
Maybe so.
And now the rest of them are looking at a paycheck. Not saying that they weren't right.
I'm sure an alternative theory from Woody Overton.
It's more likely than you saying that teacher didn't rape that kid.
Let's go to Mile High Crimes, y'all. We got Mile High Crime segment. High.
Y'all
got to
give us, at you right give us now. The, I'm going to say, exodus to the right.
Come on, Jim.
I mean, there's no excuse for not having a theme.
We're working on it. I promise you, next time we have it,
Woody
we'll
and
have
I are going to sing a commercial. Let's do the United theme, Woody.
Someone's been flying sky. Do you remember when you could smoke on airplanes?
Mile High Crimes coming at you right now.
Airlines don't advertise anymore.
It's hard for me to keep these two focused.
Fly the friendly skies.
All right. Frontier. We're going back to Frontier Airlines.
Those are the unfriendly skies.
I got a credit card in here.
A belligerent Frontier passenger was arrested, y'all, after grabbing an intercom and hitting the flight attendant with it.
What?
That's right. An unruly Frontier Airlines passenger.
Was it the passenger that got sent to the... fucking Dominican to Jamaica?
No.
That was Frontier too, wasn't
yes. it? Yes. An unruly Frontier Airlines passenger assaulted a flight attendant after she was asked to deplane on Sunday on a flight to Tampa, Florida. Frontier Airlines said the plane from Denver, Colorado was delayed for about 4 hours because a woman became belligerent. The flight was scheduled to take off at 12:55 a.m., but actually departed the airport at 5:30 a.m. instead. Mm. As she was deplaning, she picked up an intercom phone and hit a flight attendant. Wow. The passenger, whose identity wasn't disclosed, was arrested by Denver law enforcement. A fellow passenger in the second row said the disruptive passenger attempted to switch seats. Despite being asked to return to her assigned seat, she refused to comply. Pissed her off. So as she was deplaning, she grabbed the intercom and popped the lady with it.
Okay, wait. I know I asked bad questions, but I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
It was a flight from Denver to Tampa.
It was a flight from Denver, Colorado. They delayed the flight for 4 hours.
Why?
And eventually, because she hit the lady. So...
Okay, it said Mike, she did that while deplaning.
No. She switched seats.
The lady said, you can't switch seats. You got to go back. Well, it was this big uproar. They ended up delaying the flight for 4 hours over this. They eventually take off. She's on the flight. They land in Tampa. She's pissed the whole time over this, having to switch these seats. So when she gets off at Tampa, she pops the lady with the intercom.
I'm about to bring you another almost mile high on. They stole what?
They stole what?
What'd you steal?
What did they steal?
Well, listen to this. It's not only what this dude stole, but it's why he stole it, which is so almost mile high related. Mm. So a man stole a backhoe for a 10-mile drive to an Illinois airport to catch a flight. Southern Illinois man has been charged. Why are you laughing, Mike, my pronunciation? You know how
I'm laughing about the backhoe.
A Southern Illinois man has been charged with theft for allegedly stealing a backhoe to drive about 10 miles to an airport to catch a flight. Maybe Frontier Airlines, we don't know. Security camera footage shows a Carbondale man arriving at Veterans Airport atop a backhoe and leaving it in the airport parking lot Thursday. Footage captured the man walking across the street from the lot to the airport lobby carrying a guitar case, the sheriff's office said. The owner of the backhoe arrived at the airport a short time later and identified the equipment as belonging to his company. The owner said the machine, typically used to move large debris, has been parked at a job site.
How about that?
Can you believe that?
I can't believe
that.
They stole what? Crazy. Freaking backhoes.
How fast can a backhoe go?
Probably about 10 miles.
Yeah, about 10 miles an hour.
Probably took about an hour to get there.
Quicker than you could walk.
Yeah.
And did he technically steal? I mean, he barred it. So
but if you don't bring it back.
25 miles per hour a backhoe can go.
And he got there in 15 minutes.
He probably, it's a pretty rural area. He probably was doing almost the speed limit on that backhoe.
Maybe so. But I'm glad he brought his guitar.
Yeah.
Speaking of guitars, almost guitars.
Guitar.
There's the banjo. I'm going to tell you about a guy who thought he was really smart, but he was actually really dumb.
Name's Mike Agapino.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Somebody else besides me.
Somebody besides Mike.
Who fits that description.
Oh, this is a Jeopardy question. Who is somebody besides Mike?
Do you remember when, during the pandemic, when the government was giving all that PPP money to companies?
The shit I never got, yeah.
Right.
Or me.
Well, if you were a company and your business was down, but you were maintaining employees anyway and not letting people go, you could qualify for the PPP. And in a lot of cases, companies whose business remained strong through the pandemic because of the unique nature of their business still qualified for the PPP and got it. But people found loopholes and ways to trick these things. This particular guy in Seattle should have considered that at some point the government would do a little bit of checking up on things. And
come back around.
And he had a pretty elaborate scheme, this guy. He took over $1 million in jobless benefits and small business loans during the pandemic. He ended up getting sentenced to more than 8 years worth of prison for his trouble.
Oof.
His name, Brian Sparks, 42 years old.
He was making over $100,000 a year.
He was
at prison time.
Yeah, I think they took the money back though. So I don't think it's a trade. So this went on from March of 2020 until January of 2021 when Sparks used stolen personal information from more than 100 state of Washington residents. So he was stealing identities. Mm-hmm. And applied for economic injury disaster loans from the Small Business Administration and unemployment benefits from the Washington State Employment Security Department. The trick to all of this was he had to create fraudulent bank accounts and then receive benefits through unemployment benefit debit cards that would be mailed to the addresses of those people. And so he would have to go to their addresses and so go through their mail to to get the payments. Yes, this was a
he earned that million dollars.
Elaborate and flawed scheme. And, of course, more than one of those people figured out what was going on and alerted the authorities. And he did get $522,000 from the Small Business Administration and $520,000 from the Employment Security Department. So he had $1,044,000 in his pocket until
he gets to stay as a guest of the government.
Now he's a
for
guest
8 years, of three hots government. And a cot.
And we get to pay him some more. Right.
Which is what makes him dumb and why we will
three
play
hots and a cot.
Banjos in his honor.
Maybe we'll get to watch something on the cock.
All right.
Wow. Happy Memorial Day.
Is that
happy
all we got?
Memorial Day. Yep. We're an hour and 5 minutes in.
We don't have a Memorial Day crime.
No. That's Mike's fault. Mike's in charge.
I'm gonna go
crime if you don't.
I'm gonna go commit one on the way home, and then we'll report on it.
Well, then you could do that. You know, I like to do a Memorial Day. I really, besides barbecue and shit, I really, really, really like to sit around and watch all the old war movies that I've seen 14,000 times.
I was going to say drink beer.
I do that too.
Parade? Yeah. No parade? Parade? No.
All right. Memorial Day, and our last little question, and we'll go around the room here. What you have to say what your favorite war movie is, and I'll go first.
So
Band of Brothers, no doubt. Mike.
Wasn't that a series, not a movie?
Yeah, it was a really long movie.
Okay.
Yes. And there's the Pacific and the other one. Yeah.
I love Saving Private Ryan.
I love it too, but I'm going to tell you something. I love them all. I know them all by heart, but I'm going to blow y'all's mind with this one, The Longest Day.
Ooh.
Black and white.
Ooh.
Ever seen that?
I don't think I have.
It's got John Wayne, everybody in it. It's about the invasion of Normandy.
Yeah.
And
that is a great
movie. The original Midway,
Platoon,
Full Metal Jacket, whatever. I got a million.
Yeah. Glory was hard to beat. God, that was a great movie. Yeah.
Deer Hunter.
Denzel Washington. Deer Hunter was great. There's a lot of them. Yeah. Rambo. Just kidding. Maybe the first Rambo. First Blood was okay.
By the way, Stallone has a reality series out.
Do you know he made a porno?
What?
He made a porno.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he said he has a small dick.
He has a reality series.
No anaconda for him.
No, he's jealous.
And he has three daughters in their 20s. That the funniest part of that, they're all beautiful, and none of them can get a date. Because every guy is scared shitless to go to the house and face Stallone.
What is this on the cock?
I think it is on the cock, actually.
It's like a Real Housewives thing.
Is it on the cock?
All right.
No. Right. You know what? It's on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I got
not
that.
The cock.
I have that.
All right, I got to get these guys their medicine.
Yes.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily, peace.
Shabusiness.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.